Alright, here we go. So I'm here today with Sarah, and we're talking about transitions. And you've recently made a change in career. Can you tell me what job or career you're leaving behind?
Well, professor of economics.
It's pretty serious.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the new role that you're moving towards?
Well, I don't have any idea.
Uh-huh.
I just know that I'm moving out.
You're moving out. So can you tell me more about this moving out?
Well, three things. I've been thinking about your question.
Mm-hmm.
Like three things that I don't think are really decisive or finished in my own mind, but they're sort of the three challenges that have come up for me that have caused me to need to move.
Yes.
One of them was just realizing this is my life. You know, this is my life energy, and I watch what I spend my energy on, and I feel uncomfortable using up my life energy doing things that seem meaningless
mm-hmm.
or wasteful or trivial. So that's just been a challenge that's happened for me in the last 2 years is like, wait, it's when you're younger, you're like, oh, I need a job and I need money and I need to like start a career and like I need to do a good job, right?
Yeah.
Because you have this like external idea of like you should succeed at something, right? Or something particular for many people. But then it's the point where it's like, oh, no, this isn't about presenting yourself in the world, becoming an adult. This is now like your life energy that you're spending on something. And because I was doing, you know, I was writing books, publishing books, public speaking, giving a lot of energy, and finding that those particular products that I was creating weren't doing anything meaningful in the world. They certainly weren't doing anything like what I hoped they would do.
Mm-hmm.
And teaching in the university, similarly, like I think it could be really powerful, but the way that education has become so commodified now, it's pretty meaningless for almost all the students and feels like very wasteful and disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like I'm wasting my energy when I do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel very uncomfortable, become increasingly uncomfortable with doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels like I'm giving too much life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving a lot of life and it's going at a wall.
Mm.
So
that was the one challenge.
Yeah, that's the one challenge.
Yeah.
Then the other one has to do with what I call, well, actually my friend Stephen Full calls it embodiment, which is the idea that we are physical beings who live in bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the kind of work that is respected these days is non-body work. It's like brain plugged into computer doing stuff.
Mm.
And as I began to do yoga and to dance, and I have been anorexic for a really long time, and I sort of came into having a life in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I had also been an artist for a long time, which is very sensual, you know, the smell of oil paint and the feel of materials. And after having this life as a scholar, and where I really, when I teach, it's an out-of-body experience, like I don't have a body. So I began to also feel that there was something, like if there's anything lasting and meaningful in the world, it has to do with like a physical tactile interaction with the world and a physical presence. And that there's something that I will probably never be able to name that has to do with like creating in the world or being in the world in a physical way. And so that has become more important, although I don't know where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, and making art, even if it's a 3-minute dance that is not recorded, somehow seems like more real and tangible and lasting in some strange way.
Yeah.
Then writing things that people will never read.
Yeah.
Or grading papers. Truly meaningful.
Horrible.
And then the third one
yeah.
has to do with and this is perhaps the most unresolved, has to do with, like, I think I really wanted for a long time to have these particular accomplishments that would be visible and recognized. And I kind of imagined that those accomplishments would also be sexy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I want a PhD.
Oh, yeah.
I want to write a book.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And those things seemed to me like these, like, really awesome things that I could have that would make me really awesome. And those things were so incredibly disappointing in that regard. Like, the more education I got, the smarter I got, the better I could speak, the more I published, like, the less accessible I became as a person, particularly as a woman, that men would be interested. Like, I found myself with fewer options, really, because I intimidated people, or who knows why, but also it's the status difference, you know?
Yeah.
And then also, like, wanting to get, not just from, like, a potential partner, but also from the world, like, wanting to get recognized. And, you know, my book was actually really important and really timely and didn't get recognized because I didn't know the right people and I wasn't on the right publisher and I didn't have the right... And so for a year I became a really bitter person. And so it was like I was, like... Everywhere I went, people should have known who I was, but
right,
they didn't, you know? And
right.
I was like, I don't like, I'm becoming a person that I don't like at all.
Yeah.
And I felt really unsexy, too.
Yeah.
Like, I had this, like, burdensome, the very thing that I thought would be so attractive in the world became this, like, burden, like, having this really, like, ugly thing on my head, or so, I don't know, something. And so I shed myself, I stopped using my professional name in my life. I didn't stop telling people what I did. I just created a whole, not created, I just, like, allowed to emerge a different identity that is my identity in my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
That's about, like, and that person doesn't have a resume, doesn't have accomplishments that she's particularly proud of. It's more like she's a person who likes to cook for people and who dances and who has, like, loving relations with people. And that's my identity is now attached to that instead of to those accomplishments.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's not a career.
No.
Right? That has resolved my state of being.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a happy person who I like now. But I think that issue of, like, when you aren't striving after these accomplishments that you could be proud of and for which you will be recognized, I think when you let go of that and you realize things, whatever recognition comes, it's not going to be satisfying in the way that you think.
Yeah.
When that goes, I feel very blank. Like, I don't know what to put in that place of how to come up with a goal for myself, how to come up with an idea of what I do want to do, you know? I mean, certainly on a day-to-day basis, I can come up with things that are intrinsically meaningful to do, right? The embodied stuff, for sure. But in terms of, like, making a long-term goal, when it's no longer about getting recognized for contributing something wonderful to the world or making, you know...
Yeah,
like, it is, for me, really an emptiness.
Skipping off the whole goal, resume, even redefining what you fill the void with.
Yeah.
You know, and if that's empty because you don't have those long-range goals anymore.
Right.
But then there's, I sense there's a kind of, in the here and now, in the moment, there's quite a lot of fulfillment.
Yeah.
Still morphing into that new identity, do you think?
Yeah.
That one that doesn't need, I don't know, where do we learn? We have to have goals and long-term strategic plans and,
exactly.
You know, are they like that in Europe?
I feel silly that I don't have that. You know, So, I mean, that's what I have to share, I think, for your question, is just those challenges.
Which led you to redefine yourself.
Or to stop. I mean, what they really led me to do is stop.
I have
effectively, I said 3 years ago, I said I'm going to retire
from
the university, which is very, you know, which is ridiculous because I'm too young to retire, right? But I just said that. I just put that out there. And then a whole series of circumstances have come that have caused that life to stop.
Yeah.
Not that it can start again. It could.
Yeah.
But it has stopped for the moment.
Yeah.
And yeah. that's what I could say that I've done is I've managed to stop.
Yeah.
And while developing little other entertaining things to do.
You've talked about the why, the main reasons for change, and the why now, the series of events, and have caused you just to pause for a while and take some time out just for you and enjoy more tactile pleasures, if you like, you know, cooking, dancing, creating. What's given you the confidence and courage to change? Just necessity, or is there more in there?
I don't think I have confidence and courage about it, actually. Uh-huh. I feel like I said it. I said the words.
Right.
And several times, like pretty much laughing at myself as mm-hmm. I said them.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to retire, you mean those words?
Yes, words, but also like other things that I said I wanted to do, like, oh, I just want to dance, I just want to move to Buenos Aires. And like, and all those things haven't happened, but there's been, like, I think that speaking that intention mm-hmm. does mm-hmm. start things moving.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is just that I found my partner in life mm-hmm. after a very long, lonely search.
Yeah.
And that has, because that's so important and I knew that was so important, that has enabled me to prioritize it over everything else and mm-hmm. like to stop worrying about my career and like he wants to come to New Zealand, okay, mm-hmm. New Zealand is mm-hmm. next, you know? Whereas I think before that I would have been holding tighter
mm-hmm.
to that career even though it wasn't fulfilling me mm-hmm. but I would have felt like, well, that's what I have, you
mm-hmm.
know
mm-hmm.
So
your partner you met
in Los Angeles,
okay, just bumped into him.
We met in a dance floor.
So the intention that you made just for your own sense of sanctity was, I want to dance, and so you went to dance, and then you met the same connection.
Yeah,
that's fascinating. So, okay, what advice would you give other people contemplating a change?
Well, I don't think I'm in a position to give advice, except I guess the thing that's most striking to me that I do say to friends is, like, it's your life, you know,
mm.
you have to, that's a really scary thing to contemplate, that this is it, this mm. is your life,
mm.
you know, and nobody else, people will make judgments about it,
mm.
but nobody else really reaps your decisions,
no.
you know, and, like, you do.
Yeah.
And,
Nice and simple.
Yeah, it's your life.
Is there anything, well, if you're making a change again, anything you'd do the same or do differently, given the time it's taken you to get to where you are now?
Avoid real estate.
Avoid
I also own a house that I'm trying to get out of, and I think that dream of, like, having a house and the feeling of the idea that would be secure and grounding, and that, like, ultimately, like, it can really be a burden.
Mm-hmm.
Not only the financial arrangements to do with it, but the emotional attachments to a house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I've been on the verge of selling it several times and then had this, like, I can't, you know, right? And, you know, because I have this beautiful garden,
yeah.
and I don't want someone to tear down the garden. And
mm-hmm.
like, I think that big investments,
mm-hmm.
although women are counseled to invest more,
mm-hmm.
that actually those can be really constraining
mm.
about, you know, of development, probably
mm.
of various kinds.
Mm.
And the other thing is just, and this is another really obvious one, is just like the importance of being aware that, like, you don't really need that much material stuff
mm.
to be happy and connected and
mm.
to do the really human work that you want to do in
mm.
the world, like, and, like, I do really look back on, I've always been pretty frugal, but even from as a fairly frugal person, I look back on, you know, the money that I've spent on
mm.
things that now are a burden, like,
mm.
now they're in storage,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
and so just, and now, and all, not only are they in storage, but I want to move you know, across the continent.
Mm.
You know, I want to move to Latin America.
Mm.
And I can't take that with me. Not only you can't take it when you're dead, you can't take it on
yeah.
the other side
when
of the
you're
world.
Alive.
Right.
Yeah.
And so just like being, I think like if I wish I had developed earlier, I mean, lots of things I wish I'd done when younger, but one of the things that I think people could try to do, I guess, is to try to develop like a consciousness that acquiring things is a burden.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and, yeah. and it then makes it harder to allow yourself to grow.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Simplify.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Five things that represent your old life. Can you think of five things that symbolize your old life?
That's a great question. Fear, pride, resentment, anger, loneliness.
Mm. Moving on to the positive, five things that represent your new life. Hopefully positive. Might have made an assumption.
No.
Love.
Yeah, like focusing on loving, creating loving relationships with people.
Mm-hmm.
Creating, like being a really active community builder wherever mm-hmm. I am, which like makes a feeling of home and makes meaningfulness mm-hmm. wherever you are. I think identifying what feels spacious,
mm-hmm.
psychologically, physically, time, like what makes a feeling of space, you know, like how you arrange it, from everything from how you arrange your furniture to like doing yoga, you know,
yeah,
those things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And how you and what you do when you hang out with your friends, you know, all of those things can be spacious or not, and that's very different for different people. But I think like I'm making progress on that spaciousness.
Mm-hmm.
That was three.
Freedom, sense of freedom.
Mm-hmm. No,
not yet.
I wouldn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
I think like intuition and allowing myself to be different from day to day, to want different things, to be different things, to do different things, to learn something different every day, like not having this rigid sense of like I know who I am and what I do and I don't do that.
Yeah.
No, but like
yeah.
allowing myself to learn
yeah.
new things.
Yeah.
And be challenged by other people.
Uh-huh.
Like in the last couple of years in this transition, one thing that's happened is that particularly my partner, but also other people have said, you should do blah, 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 and like all kinds of things that I would said, that's impossible, that can't be done, whatever.
Mm.
Like I'm not making fresh pasta for 30 people, and actually it can be done. And it's a beautiful, you know, and then we made this beautiful ritual with you.
Yeah,
know, like,
yeah.
So like realizing you're way bigger than you are, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that five or was that four?
Yeah, I think.
Knowing you're bigger than you are.
Yeah.
Knowing I'm bigger
yeah.
than I am.
Don't limit yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What you're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I forgot to ask you, because the listeners like to identify with the old age group of people in this lifetime. What age are you?
I'm 40.
Oh, it's a great time to make a change. Cool. Well, thank you very much for that. And that's over and out with Sarah today. And, yeah, thanks. Thanks, heaps.